26 this morning. Typically, when you sing the song we just sang, Eternal Father, Strong to Save, we somehow think of military. But I had to sing that because of the three persons of the Godhead mentioned: Eternal Father, Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit in verse 3, and then the Trinity in verse 4. And what it says about the Spirit in verse 3: O Spirit, whom the Father sent. I want us to focus on those words as we read these verses here this morning. John chapter 14, verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, those are the two verses I'm going to be looking at this morning, but let's continue with verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. This is the night before Jesus Christ is crucified. He's spending time with his disciples. Judas, the professing disciple, has departed. Jesus has told his disciples that he is about to depart. They still don't understand. They still don't see what's going to happen. We have an expression that we sometimes use when we want somebody else to see something from a different perspective. We say, well, put yourself in his shoes. We often misunderstand others because we stubbornly expect to see things only from our point of view. We often misunderstand the scriptures because we don't see things from God's point of view. We see it from our point of view. And we let our experiences, we let our circumstances dictate to us how things should be. Now think about it. These disciples are not seeing things from Jesus' point of view. They're seeing everything from their point of view. We often have misunderstandings because we have an earthly perspective rather than a heavenly perspective. Think about the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. He said, when you pray, pray, our Father. What's the next little phrase? Now, why is that included which art in heaven? I think it's so that we see things from his perspective, from the heavenly perspective. As Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3, set your affection on things above, not on things on this earth. And then he goes on to say, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's seeing everything from God's perspective. So I say again, we often have misunderstandings because we see things from our earthly perspective. And the misunderstanding that these disciples have is that they are seeing things only from their perspective. Jesus is about to leave us, and they think of their circumstances, how that's going to affect them, and they're forgetting everything that Jesus has said as to what's going to take place. He's going to be crucified. But he's going to rise from the dead. He promised that to his disciples. They have forgotten that. He will be glorified after he ascends up into heaven. In the previous chapter, he has announced, I am leaving. But the disciples, instead of seeing that from his perspective, see it only from their perspective. But Jesus wants them to see his departure from his perspective. As we see in verse 28, he says, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice. Because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Listen, if you really loved me, you would be rejoicing right now. See it from my perspective. That is not only true of that verse, but of this entire passage I read this morning. We need to see this from the perspective of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say this reverently. Let's put ourselves in His sandals. Let's have the disciples, if they could just put themselves in His shoes and see things from His perspective. And I want us this morning, as I believe this passage is teaching us, to see things from the perspective of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus wants His disciples to understand. And I see in this passage at least five things from His perspective. We're going to get to the first one this morning. It's found in verses 25 and 26. And I call it this: my perspective, my presence, my presence. The word "my" I am putting in quotes because I am speaking from Jesus' point of view. Jesus wants His disciples to see things from my, that is, His perspective. Look at what He says there in verse 25. "These things have I spoken unto you." These things are all those things that Jesus has spoken to them while being with them. He says, being yet present with you. They are used to His physical presence. They're used to visibly seeing Him with their physical eyes. In contrast, the Holy Spirit will have a ministry of remaining with them, but not only with them, but in them. Verse 23. A permanent presence. He is called the Comforter. In verse 26, but the Comforter, and we see that He is called the Spirit of Truth in verse 17, but now He's called the Holy Spirit. For the first time we see Him addressed by this name, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. Why holy? That is the attribute of God. That attribute of God is that which the Holy Spirit will be working to develop in the lives of His disciples. He is called the Holy Spirit. Then I want you to see in verse 26, and this is where we're going to dwell this morning, on three future tenses. Look at the three wills or shalls that you see in verse 26. Because by the use of these three future tenses, Jesus is promising His presence, that which He wants His disciples to see from His perspective. Let's look at those three future tenses. Whom the Father, here it is, will send in My name. He, here's the second one, shall teach you all things. Here's the third one. And, you can supply the word shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. You say, we're going to spend all this time in that one verse. Yes, we could spend more time on this one verse. This is the promise of the Holy Spirit. This is the promise of the Comforter. The promise of the Spirit of Truth. Let's look first of all at that first future tense. The Father shall send. But I want you to notice something. Here in this verse, Jesus says, whom the Father will send. But this sending is both an act of the Father and the Son. Why am I pointing this out? Because we're going to see the deity of Christ yet again. Here we see the Father sends, but go with me to chapter 15. Verse 26. Who's doing the sending there in verse 26? But when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you. Who's doing the speaking here? Jesus says, I will send. Look at chapter 16 and verse 7. Look at the very last phrase. But if I depart, who's going to send Him unto you? Jesus. I will send Him. Contradiction? What's the answer? Jesus Christ is God. They are one and the same. His sending is ascribed to both. But notice what Jesus says again in chapter 14 and verse 26, whom the Father will send in My name. That is significant because the Holy Spirit will come to give focus, not on Himself, but on Jesus Christ. And Jesus explains this in chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. He will glorify Me. He will come in My name. That also means that He will be sent by Jesus' request to the Father. I want you to see two verses, or listen to two verses. right before Jesus ascends up into heaven. He has just revealed himself to his disciples after his resurrection. He is speaking to his disciples and he gives them this promise. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. What's that promise? It's the Holy Spirit. So he says, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is saying, I am about to ascend. I want you to stay in Jerusalem. And I will send the promise of my Father upon you. Think about the preaching of Peter on the day of Pentecost. What happened on the day of Pentecost? Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost, and he says this in chapter 2 of Acts in verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, speaking of Jesus Christ, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. All of you people who think that we're speaking in these tongues and that somehow we're drunk, no, this is the Father who, by my request, has sent the Holy Spirit, which you have seen shed forth abroad, and you see the evidence of the Holy Spirit. The fact, folks, that the Holy Spirit is sent in Jesus' name means that the Holy Spirit is Jesus' emissary. Not simply his substitute. What is an emissary? An emissary is an agent sent on a mission to advance the interests of somebody else. And the Holy Spirit is to come to advance the interests of Jesus Christ. By the way, why did Jesus come? Whose interests did he advance? The Father. Jesus comes to advance the interests of the Father. The Holy Spirit comes to advance the interests of Jesus, who came to advance the interests of the Father. Why is Jesus sending the Holy Spirit? What is the mission of the Holy Spirit? Well, that's the second future tense here. The Holy Spirit shall do what, first of all, that we see there in verse 26? But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he's going to teach. He is going to teach you all things. Hey, what would you like to know? I mean, this is the way some people treat this. What would you like to know? Wouldn't you kind of like to know what the other person's thinking right now? Well, the Holy Spirit's going to teach you all things. Right? Let's think about this. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Here's the key phrase. Whatsoever I have said unto you. In other words, the Holy Spirit is going to teach all things whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Spirit has a mission of teaching because we have a problem. These disciples had a problem. So the Holy Spirit is going to teach them because we have a problem with application. We have a problem with applying things. By the way, that's a lot of what teaching is. You can get up and teach facts, but application is where it is. Not just teaching facts, but what those facts mean to the student. Even this morning as I am preaching, I am striving not to just preach facts, but hey, this is what this means to you. In fact, as I prepare messages, I keep asking myself these two words with a big question mark at the end. So what? I'm not being irreverent, but that's what sometimes a preacher needs to do, is say, okay, Jesus makes this promise. So what? Well, I'll tell you what. Here's the application, and that's what the rest of this message is all about. There's some application here. There are some things Jesus purposely did not teach. Does that strike you? Go to chapter 16 again. Look at verse 12. What does Jesus say here? I have yet many things to say unto you. He's going to be crucified. He's going to be arrested in just a few hours. And yet, what's their problem? They cannot bear them now. Now, he could teach them facts, but if he's going to apply those facts, they would not be able to handle it. He shall teach you all things whatsoever I have said unto you. What Jesus taught is what the Holy Spirit will teach. He is the resident teacher. You're a believer this morning. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. Why? To give you this emotional high, right? Why is the Holy Spirit indwell? To teach you all things whatsoever Jesus Christ has said. Have you learned anything from the Holy Spirit lately? He's supposed to be teaching you. Have you learned anything? He teaches you whatsoever I have said unto you. He teaches you whatsoever Jesus has said. Well, I haven't learned anything. Well, let me ask you something. If you're not reading God's Word, how do you think you're allowing Him to teach you? And yet this is typically the way a lot of us think. That somehow through the process of osmosis or some other process, I am somehow going to become this spiritual person and I'm going to understand the Bible. Folks, understanding of the Word of God comes, yes, by the Holy Spirit teaching, but what's your responsibility? Do you have a responsibility in this? Or do you just sit back and kind of put this helmet on and it all comes into you and you go out this brand new person knowing all kinds of things? How does it happen? Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you're not reading God's word, you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to teach you anything. The Holy Spirit is going to teach the same doctrine as Jesus Christ in what areas? All things. They are united. No disciple could leave and years later say, I know what Jesus taught, but the Holy Spirit is teaching me something else. The Holy Spirit's giving me a new revelation. No, He will teach you all things whatsoever I have said unto you. Can you imagine Peter a few years later saying, you know what? I know what Jesus taught, but the Holy Spirit is teaching me something else. You see this a lot taking place in different circles today where people are saying, well, I know what the Bible says, but the Holy Spirit taught me something. And what are they saying? I've had this experience. Something has happened. There's some circumstance that I went through and I don't know what the Bible says, or I do know what the Bible says, but my experience overshadows that. It's not going to happen. You are not being taught by the Holy Spirit. You are being taught by a devil. By the way, this area that I am dwelling upon right now, that the Holy Spirit will teach you all things whatsoever I have said unto you, is important for the doctrine of inspiration. That the Word of God is inspired by God. This is the Word of God, inerrant, infallible. And I can trust it. This is the truth. The absolute truth. It's important for the doctrine of inspiration because what about the epistles of Paul? What about Peter's epistles? What about John's epistles? Can we trust them? Those are not the words of Jesus Christ. Remember I was talking about the red letters last week? Paul's letters to the church at Corinth and Ephesus and Colossae and so forth, those aren't in red. And that's the way some people treat them. Those are Paul's words. Listen, folks. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would teach them all things whatsoever I have said unto you. The epistles reflect the teaching of Jesus Christ because they were written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Again, it is wrong to elevate the red letters above the rest of Scripture as if the red letters are more important than other parts of the Bible. Think of this. Elevating the words of Jesus above the Word of Jesus is to disobey the words of Jesus. I don't know if you caught the plural and the singular there. But if I elevate the words of Jesus above the Word of Jesus, I am guilty of disobeying the words of Jesus. Because He says here, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things whatsoever I have said unto you. We have a problem of applying. And that's His mission. Is to make application. But there's another problem we have. You've got this problem and I've got this problem. If somebody doesn't have this problem, I'd like to meet you and talk with you. We have a problem with remembering. And I'm having more and more of a problem with that as I get to know people who are older than I. You're affecting me. Maybe I should say you're infecting me. No. It's just the problem that comes with age. But even kids have a problem with remembering. Have you ever told your child to do something and they said, "Oh, I'm sorry, yeah." Yeah, we all have a problem with remembering. But what is the Holy Spirit going to remind us? Child is told by mom and dad, you know, here's what you need to do. You need to take the trash out tomorrow. And they come back and say, "I forgot. The Holy Spirit didn't remind me." Listen. "He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Now, let's make the proper application, because the Holy Spirit's going to make application as it ought to be done. By the way, again, the Holy Spirit is a person. Because there's no way some kind of an abstract influence can teach you or remind you. The Holy Spirit has a mission of reminding us because we have a problem with remembering. I have a Franklin planner because I have a problem with remembering. If you see me sometime in the church and I don't have my Franklin planner with me and you say, "Would you please call me such and such a day?" You know what I have to do? I have to write it down. If I don't write it down, it may not get done. I may remember, I may not. The Franklin planner is my way of reminding me. I rely heavily upon it. I also have a tickler file. You know what a tickler file is? How many do not know what a tickler file is? Okay, I need to explain what a tickler file is. A tickler file is something I learned in college. I have 31 folders with the 31 days of the month on them. Behind those 31 folders, I have January, February, March, the 12 months. So how many does that make? How many folders? 31 plus 12 is what, 42? So I've got 42 folders, 43 folders in this drawer. See, I can't even remember my math. And what I do is if I need to remember something this month coming up on the 30th, I take that particular item and I file in that folder on the 30th. Or if I need to remember something in the year next April, I can go to my tickler file in April and I can find everything that I am supposed to remember that's a physical piece of paper. I file that in April. But I still have to remember to do something. What's that? I've got to check the folders. So what do? I get into a habit of the first thing I do when I come to work every morning is one of the very first things I do is I go to my tickler file and I pull that day. And I open that folder and there is everything that I am supposed to do physically for that day. So if you ever give me a piece of paper, I will probably file it in my tickler file. Why do we call it a tickler file? It tickles your memory. And it reminds me. Now, I am not being irreverent when I say this, but the Holy Spirit tickles your memory. He reminds you. But what is He going to remind you? "Whatsoever I have said unto you." Our weakness then is recall or remembering that which something I knew at one time. How often I can testify that I have read my Bible, I have read God's Word, I was blessed by it, and then, you know what? I forgot it. Anybody else have that problem? All of us do. I know that I forget it because the very thing that I made application with, the Holy Spirit reminded me that, hey, this is something you need to apply in this area of your life. Then a circumstance comes up and I treat the circumstance wrongly and I have totally forgotten what He taught me. But how many times it has been that He has reminded me in the process? But it was always, without exception, something that I have read or memorized or heard taught that the Holy Spirit uses to bring back to my mind. So due to His mission, His ministry, I was reminded of it when needed. This is something you can pray when you're reading Scripture. Lord, help me to recall other portions of Scripture as I read this passage that shed light on this passage. That's what understanding the Word of God is, folks. As I am reading this passage, have you ever gone to this and said, man, isn't there something else written about this? And you start searching the Scriptures. And you begin to see how intertwined they are and how Scripture sheds light on Scripture and how I should interpret Scripture on the basis of other Scripture. And I begin to learn and I begin to say, you know what? There's not only one verse that deals with this. There's this one and this one and this one and this one. And there's principles all over the Bible that deal with this particular problem that I'm encountering right now. And the Holy Spirit teaches me by reminding me of things that I need to recall. So what is the Holy Spirit going to bring to your remembrance? Whatsoever I have said unto you. Folks, there are believers who are messed up in their Bible doctrine because they listen more to whatsoever their friend said to them. Some friend comes along who has an axe to grind. Some friend who's become disgruntled. Some friend who had an experience that was bad, some bad personal experience. And so they begin to teach something else and influence other people based upon their experience that was bad. And all of a sudden, our Bible doctrine's messed up. Well, I know that such and such happened to such and such. And now all of a sudden, we're messed up on the doctrine of God. Now we're messed up on the doctrine of the church. Now we're messed up on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the doctrine of inspiration. We get messed up. Because we are listening more to whatsoever my friends said rather than whatsoever the things that Jesus Christ has said. If you're going to be reminded of something, you had to have listened or studied or memorized what was said in the first place. It's a phrase that Jesus constantly used. Can you fill in the blanks for me? I'm going to say the first part of the phrase. You ready? He that hath ears to hear. He constantly used that. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Did he not teach his disciples what was going to take place this very night? He had told them. They're not recalling it. He also used another phrase. Go with me to Luke chapter 9. As he was teaching his disciples, he's predicting his death. Luke chapter 9 and verse 43. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God, but while they wondered every one at all the things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, let these sayings sink down into your ears. For the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. Stop. Look up, please. Let this sink into your mind. Let this sink into your ears. Jesus emphasized this. But notice the response of the disciples in verse 45. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. I think this is what Jesus meant in chapter 16 when he said, there's too many things you would not be able to bear right now. And it was hid from them. And yet they did not understand. Well, how are they going to understand this? The Holy Spirit, when he comes upon them, is going to teach them and he's going to remind them of what Jesus Christ had said. Folks, be encouraged if you don't understand everything in a sermon. Have you ever gotten, I know you've been here and I've preached and you've got this glazed look. I've had glazed looks when I'm studying. And I have to ask the Lord, Lord, enable me to see what this is saying. Enable me to be able to communicate this in a way that your people would be able to understand this. But I need to understand it first. Be encouraged if you don't understand everything in a sermon. Why? Because even those things that maybe you don't understand, even the children today listening to me, you may not understand something. Be assured. If you listen and meditate, there's going to come a time when the Holy Spirit is going to allow you to recall something that was said. It amazed me when the boys were little how that they would pick up things. I mean, they were really little guys. And it'd be a year or two later and they would say, well, Dad, you one time preached such and such. And I was just like, wow. Be encouraged in your devotions when you open your Bible and it's just, oh, I don't understand this. You know what? Eat. Take it in. Study. Study hard. Take notes. I'm a strong believer in taking notes. I don't care who's preaching. If a teenager's preaching, I'm taking notes. Why? There's something that's going to be said that I need to be reminded of. And taking notes helps me not only to think it, but see it. And there's a third sense, I'm writing it. And it's going to give that the Holy Spirit the means whereby to use something like that to help me to recall something that has been said. The Holy Spirit has a mission of reminding, but note something. He does not remind lazy people who have not first listened, who have not first studied, who have not first memorized. This whole doctrine means that a believer can plead the reminding of the Holy Spirit on a sleepless night. Can plead the reminding of the Holy Spirit when sick, when witnessing, when counseling. How many times I have somebody's come to me and it was a counseling session and they asked me a question. I'm like, what am I going to say? And I right there pray. I mean, I don't get on my knees, and bow, but I pray. I'm saying, even as I'm speaking to them, Lord, help me to recall Scripture. It doesn't matter what I say. Help me to recall Scripture. What applies here? The disciples failed to understand everything about Jesus during His ministry with them. He had spoken many things while He was with them. Verse 25. All these things that He's spoken, are these things going to be lost and forgotten by them? Are these things going to be lost to their finite minds? Are these things that He taught just going to go down the drain? No. The Holy Spirit will also have the mission of reminding them. And what's He going to remind them? All things which Jesus Christ has said, because He is the Spirit of truth. Think about what John writes in his gospel. When was the Gospel of John written? Does anybody remember? From how long ago? 2 or 3 years ago when we first started the Gospel of John. It was written in the 90s. Jesus last walked upon the earth. In fact, Jesus was probably saying this in what year? 29, 30, 31, depending upon when the calendar actually began. So here's John, 60 years later, writing this Gospel. Who's going to remind him? The Holy Spirit. In fact, John says this in chapter 2, verse 22. When therefore He was risen from the dead, His disciples remembered that He had said this unto them, and they believed the Scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Long after Jesus Christ had risen from the dead, the disciples remembered. Go back to chapter 12. Look at verse 16. Here's Jesus entering Jerusalem triumphantly. And what the people are saying and what Jesus says. But note verse 16. These things understood not His disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of Him and that they had done these things unto Him. Who is reminding them? They are remembering, but somebody is doing the reminding. In both examples I have just given you, their memories are tied to what was written in Scripture, by the way. Peter, in Acts chapter 11 and verse 16, is having to explain to the other Jews the fact that the Holy Spirit came upon the Gentiles. They're aghast at this. The Holy Spirit has come upon the Gentiles? What do you mean? Here's his explanation in Acts 11, 16. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, Peter says. How that He said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. The disciples would recall what Jesus said so that when they recorded them as scripture, the words would be perfect. The words would be error-free. It's a promise of divine inspiration. If you've ever read a harmony of the Gospels, if you have ever read the Synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you'll see the similarities between them. And I have read so many things about men trying to explain, well, this is why Matthew agrees with Mark, because Matthew copied from Mark, or Mark copied from Matthew, and here's Luke copying from them. And he tried to jump through all these hoops to say, this is why the Gospels are so similar. You want to know why the Gospels are so similar? There's one author. And he used the personality of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John to write from their own experience, but the Holy Spirit was there reminding them as to what they should write. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. David could say this. He says this in 2 Samuel 23:2. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. So when you think about 2 Peter 1:20 and 21, think about 2 Samuel 23:2. John, what a great memory you have. To write these things 60 years later. Is that what we would say? Wow, what a great memory? No, I would say, what a great reminder. And I put the word reminder with a capital R. What a great reminder. And yet, each time it is stated that the individual remembered, not that the Holy Spirit reminded them. Why? Because the believer is still expected to exercise his memory. So, in addition to four other things that Jesus mentions in the next few verses, he wants his disciples to understand from his perspective, my presence. I will be with you in the person of the Holy Spirit, teaching you and reminding you of all the things whatsoever I have said. And you see in verse 28, he says he is going away, but he is also coming to them. His promise, or his presence, is as much a promise to us 2,000 years later as it was for his disciples when he said it here in this passage. And that's why he could say to his disciples in Matthew 28:20, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And that's why the writer of Hebrews could say, let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake you. He is here with us this morning. Because we have His promise, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. As a believer, you have a teacher. A resident teacher. He requires that you study. But unlike your school teacher that you may have in college or in high school, who you have to go to see them to ask a question, or write them, or call them, because I have a question, you have to go find them somehow. This teacher is in you. And it doesn't matter where you are. He is with you. To teach and remind you of those things which you have heard, read, meditated upon, memorized from the Word of God. What have you learned this week from the Holy Spirit? He's teaching. He's reminding. But your learning is based upon your study of God's Word. Father, may we take this seriously. We thank you for the ministry.